Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So, did you all do the reading? And what was the main point? Yes? Only by devotional service can we go to Krishna. Yes?
Devotional service is not dependent on karma, jnana, and yoga, but actually they are dependent on devotional service.
Yes. That bhakti is not dependent on karma or jnana. Or yoga. But karma and jnana and yoga are dependent on bhakti for success. Text 17. Krishna Bhakti Haya Abhideya Pradana Bhakti Mukha Nirikshaka Karma Yoga Jnana. Devotional service to Krishna is the chief function of the living entity. There are different methods for the liberation of the conditioned soul: karma, jnana, yoga, and bhakti. But all are dependent on bhakti. A sabha sadhanera ati tucha bala Krishna bhakti vina tat ha dite nara phala. But for devotional service, all other methods for spiritual realization are weak and insignificant. Unless one comes through the devotional service of Lord Krishna, jnana and yoga cannot give the desired results. Then Lord Chaitanya quotes various verses from revealed scripture to support his instruction to Sanatana Goswami. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the fact that other processes are dependent on devotional service for success is the mercy of Krishna. Because if someone wants success in the other pursuits, he has to add some devotional service. And by adding some devotional service, he gets some pious credit. And by that little effort and by that pious credit, he is gradually brought to pure devotional service. So ultimately, Krishna wants everyone to engage in devotional service. And therefore, he has made other processes such that without devotional service, they cannot be successful. And then when they do some devotional service, they can make further progress. Now, how are the other processes dependent? Now we will read. Text 18. Quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.12. When pure knowledge is beyond all material affinity, but is not dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, it does not appear very beautiful, although it is knowledge without a material tinge. What then is the use of fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? How can they be very attractive? So the background to the verse is that Srila Vyasadeva had compiled the Vedic literatures, but he was not satisfied. And his spiritual master, Narada Muni, met him and perceived what his difficulty was. And his difficulty was that he didn't describe the pastimes of the Lord, and he didn't describe directly the process of devotional service. So here he refers to the other processes that Srila Vyasadeva had put in the Vedic literatures, and he says that without devotional service, they are not very attractive. Then Srila Vyasadeva compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Srimad Bhagavatam says that if one performs one's duties in varna and ashram, but he doesn't develop attraction for Krishna consciousness, then he simply wasted his time. Shrama evihi kevalam. So in other words, the purpose of following varnashram dharma, which comes in the category of karma, is ultimately to develop attraction for Krishna. Similarly, jnana, but even without taking into consideration bhakti, persons who follow varnashram dharma ultimately want, they are attached to fruitive work and they want to become detached. So the goal of karma is detachment. But actually, unless they offer the fruits of work to Krishna, they cannot actually become detached. And therefore, Bhagavad Gita says that yagyartho karmano netra loko yam karma bandana, that work has to be done as a sacrifice for Vishnu. Otherwise, work will bind one to the material world. And being bound to the material world means pain. Similarly, the goal of jnana is mukti, but mukti also cannot be achieved without some touch of bhakti. So text 20, those who perform severe austerities and penances, those who give away all their possessions out of charity, those who are very famous for their auspicious activity, those who are engaged in meditation and mental speculation, And even those who are very expert in reciting the Vedic mantras are not able to obtain any auspicious results. Although they are engaged in auspicious activities, if they do not dedicate their activities to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I therefore repeatedly offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose glories are always auspicious. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4.17. Text 21. Kevala jnana mukti dete nare bhakti vine. Krishna mukhi se mukti haya vina jnana. Speculative knowledge alone, without devotional service, is not able to give liberation. On the other hand, even without knowledge, one can obtain liberation if one engages in the Lord's devotional service. So when Haridas Thakur was speaking about the glories of the name, he said that even by chanting in Nam Abbas, one gets freedom from sinful reactions and liberation. What is Abbas? Haridas Thakur gives the example that before the sun rises above the horizon, there is so much light, and all thieves and rogues go away in the light, and people begin their normal activities. So the Namabhas means a glimpse of pure chanting. And just by the light of Namabhas, one gets liberation. And we can see that devotees at a certain stage are liberated. This does not mean that they have attained the lotus feet of Krishna, but it means that they are free from material attachments. To attain the lotus feet of Krishna, one has to chant the holy name purely. Srila Prabhupada had one friend in Bombay named Dr. Patel, who was a sort of Gandhi or Mayavadi. But he was also attracted to Srila Prabhupada and the devotees. He was educated in England and proud of his family, his birth, and his education and position. But he was so touched by the devotees living in the hut at Hare Krishna Land in Juhu that he decided that he would personally take up a collection and make some mattresses, pillows, and mosquito nets. So he did it. He went to his friends and humbled himself to ask them. And he personally got the mattresses made, thin mattresses. And then he gave the mattresses, pillows, and mosquito nets to the devotees, who were used to sleeping on the bare floor or on straw mats. Then, gradually, the mosquito nets disappeared, the mattresses disappeared, and the pillows disappeared. And Dr. Patel got very upset that the devotees didn't take care of the things that he had donated. So some years later, on a morning walk, he was remembering the incident and telling Srila Prabhupada how he had given so many things, but that the devotees didn't take care of them. And Srila Prabhupada was saying how the devotees, he was responding to what Dr. Patel had said, and he was saying how the devotees, they didn't mind sleeping on the bare floor, and they didn't mind getting bit by the mosquitoes. Dr. Patel was complaining that they would get sick, and they would just lie, and they wouldn't do anything to get better, get malaria or get jaundice. And Srila Prabhupada replied that they think that I'm not this body, so why should I bother about this body? If I have a mattress, what difference does it make? If I have a pillow, what difference does it make? If I have a mosquito net, what difference does it make? So because they were thinking I'm not this body and not worrying about it, they neglect it. But you are so much after liberation. But they are already liberated. That liberation that you want, that they already have. They're detached. So liberation means that one knows that he's not the body. He's detached from the body and things related to the body. And such liberation can be achieved by chanting in Nam Abbas. And when one can chant purely, then he can realize Krishna and enter into his eternal relationship with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada often gave the examples of impersonalists who renounce the world as being false and then return to the world. They were not really liberated. They thought they were liberated, but they were not actually liberated. And they engaged in so many sinful activities. Srila Prabhupada knew personally several of them, and he told us how once he had gone into the bathroom of one yoga ashram, and the instructor was just coming out, and he had been smoking some ganja or hashish. And Srila Prabhupada recited numerous instances of famous swamis in India who had been engaged in sinful activities. So he said that when he wrote in his books that the impersonalists cannot maintain their artificial position, but they fall down, he wasn't speaking only on the basis of the philosophy, which is that that they will fall down without the higher taste of devotional service. But he was also writing from personal experience. So we can see how rare and how exalted Srila Prabhupada's position was. Before I came to India with the other devotees who first came, at least I had some impression that India would be full of yogis and gyanis who would be very mystical. And within the first week that we arrived, or within the first days that we arrived, we were taken to one assembly of sadhus in Bombay. And there was a huge tent and rows of different types of sadhus or holy men. And they were all very different from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was so effulgent. he was just completely different from them. And when I saw them, I realized, at least to some extent, then, how unique Srila Prabhupada was. And one of the reasons is because Srila Prabhupada was a devotee, and they were not devotees. But of course, even amongst devotees, Srila Prabhupada is very exalted. So text 22, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14:4. My dear Lord, Lord Brahma, prayers to Lord Krishna. My dear Lord, devotional service unto you is the only auspicious path. If one gives it up simply for speculative knowledge or the understanding that these living beings are spirit souls and the material world is false, he undertakes a great deal of trouble. He only gains troublesome and inauspicious activities. His endeavors are like beating a husk that is already devoid of rice. One's labor becomes fruitless. So the whole purpose of the agricultural effort is to get grains. But if one beats the empty husk, there's no grain there, then what is the result? No result at all. The only result is labor and trouble. Otherwise, no result. Similarly, the actual goal of the Vedic processes is Krishna consciousness. And if one undertakes so many processes, but he doesn't get Krishna consciousness, then he's not getting anything, practically. So he's just like a foolish person who's trying to get grains where there are no grains. The grains are already gone. And again, we come back to the point that such persons do not have sambandha gyan. They do not know that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Even if they know aham brahmasmi, I'm spirit, but they do not know that Krishna is param brahma and that we are meant to serve param brahma. So they are trying to get gyan or knowledge, but they don't have real gyan. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita says, Bahunam janmanam ante gyanava mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlava. But after many lifetimes of gyan, when one actually becomes wise, he realizes that Krishna is everything. He is the cause of all causes, and he surrenders to him. Such a great soul is very, very rare. So if one is really cultivating knowledge, then ultimately he should come to the conclusion that Krishna is the goal, or Krishna is the absolute truth, and surrender to him. And Devi Hiesa Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya Mam Eviye Prapadyante Mayam Etam Tarantite. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Bhagavad Gita 7:14. So, the jnanis are trying for mukti, but it's very difficult to get out of the clutches of maya. But if one surrenders to Krishna, he can easily become free from Maya. Maya is very strong. Maya is a pure devotee of Krishna. So we have no capacity to fight Maya by our own strength. Maya is like the warden or the superintendent of the prison. And she is keeping us in the prison of material existence. And we cannot escape the prison by personal efforts. But if we surrender to the king or the governor and the king pardons us, then he will order the warden to release us and we will become free. Krishna Nitya Das Jiva Tahi Guru Gela E Doshe Maya Tara Galaya Mandila. The living entity is bound around the neck by the chain of Maya because he has forgotten that he is eternally the servant of Krishna. Here we come back to Sanatana Goswami's original question. Why am I subjected to the threefold miseries of material existence? It's because he's forgotten his eternal relationship with Krishna. Tate Krishna Bhaje Kare Gora Guru Rasevana Maya Jala Chute Paya Krishna Ras Charana. If the conditioned soul engages in the service of the Lord and simultaneously carries out the orders of his spiritual master and serves him, he can get out of the clutches of Maya and become eligible for shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. So by surrendering to Krishna and engaging in devotional service, one becomes liberated. Then he can go on further and get shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. Here we refer to six characteristics of Uttama Bhakti mentioned by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And the first one is Kleshagini, which means relief from material miseries. Material miseries are caused by sinful activities. And sinful activities are caused by ignorance. But by engaging in devotional service, one becomes free from all phases of sinful reaction. And the very cause of sin, which is ignorance, is also destroyed. So Rupa Goswami explains the two characteristics of devotional service are manifest even in the stage of sadhana bhakti. So kleshagini and shubhada, namely relief from material distress and auspiciousness, are achieved in sadhana bhakti. But attaining the lotus feet of Krishna is attained at Prema Bhakti. That is called Krishna Akarshana, Sri Krishna Akarshana. That when one attains Prema Bhakti, he can attract Krishna. Krishna comes under the control of the devotee. So liberation is not really a problem for a devotee. He is looking for something much higher than that, which is service to Krishna. Text 26. Charivarna Shrami Yadi Krishna Nahi Bhaje Sukarma Karite Se Rorave Padi Maje. The followers of the Varnashram institution accept the regulative principles of the four social orders and four spiritual orders. However, if one carries out the regulative principles of these orders but does not render transcendental service to Krishna, he falls into the hellish condition of material life. If we take that the karmis want material happiness or elevation to heavenly planets like they want, but they go down. One time Srila Prabhupada and some of the devotees were invited for lunch at One Life member's house in Bombay. And the family was very pious. The man was very dutiful. So he served Srila Prabhupada and the devotees prasad, and after the devotees took them, he and his family took. So while they were taking prasad, Srila Prabhupada commented to the devotees, glancing towards the man, that even if one follows all the rules and regulations of Varna and Ashram, and one executes all of his duties towards his family and others, but if he has no Krishna consciousness, he will go to hell. So when we heard Srila Prabhupada speak such strong words, we were surprised. Then some time later, we read the following verses quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam. We saw that Srila Prabhupada was just quoting in his own way from Srimad Bhagavatam. And as we read more and more, we will see that Srila Prabhupada never said anything independent of scripture. He may have said it in a very personal way or in a very novel way, but everything he said is in the scripture. So this also. Mukha bahunu padevya purushas yashramai saha chatvaro jagire varna gunarvi pradaya patak. Yaesham purusham sakshat atma prabhavaham ishwaram nabhajant yavajananti stanat brashta patantida. If one simply maintains an official position in the four varnas and ashrams but does not worship the Supreme Lord Vishnu, he falls down from his puffed up position into a hellish condition. So just following varna and ashram is not devotional service, it's karma. But such karma without devotional service does not bring any good result. The person will just fall down. And same with the gyanis, if they lack devotional service. There are many philosophical speculators, gyanis, belonging to the Mayavad school who consider themselves liberated and call themselves Narayan. However, their intelligence is not purified unless they engage in Krishna's devotional service. In Yeravindaksha Vimuktamaninas, Tvayasta Bhavada Vishuddha Buddhaya, Aruya Krachena Parampadam Tata, Atanti Ado Nadrita Yusmat Angraya. O Lotus Eyed One, those who think that they are liberated in this life but do not render devotional service to you must be of impure intelligence. Although they accept severe austerities and penances and rise to the spiritual position, to impersonal Brahman realization, they fall down again because they neglect to worship your loving feet. Thank you.
if their intelligence is impure, how could they transcend the modes of material nature?
Vimukta manina means that they imagine that they are liberated, but they're not actually liberated.
Here the verse is referring though to actually two realizations. They rise to the spiritual position, to impersonal Brahman realization.
They may declare Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, and Brahma Satya Jagan Mitya, that Brahman is real and this world is false. And they may go to the Himalayas or any place. But their intelligence is not pure, because they haven't appreciated the lotus feet of Krishna and engaged in devotional service, so they come back again. Srila Prabhupada knew many, and even we met some. They came back. They come back from the Himalayas and engage in material welfare work or whatever. They don't actually enter Brahma Jyoti. If they entered Brahma Jyoti, they would have no conception that I'm liberated. And as you said, they would have no impure intelligence. But this vimukta manina means that they falsely think that they are liberated. That means they're in the material world.
How do you get, when you really truly realize for a moment that you think I'm not liberated?
Pardon?
You just said that if they had really realized for a moment, they would not think of themselves liberated.
They wouldn't think of themselves as having any individual existence. They would have merged and become one.
So that means that this verse applies to the saint who is looking towards the liberation of the material world, but not to one who's achieved liberation.
Yeah. Because the basic principle is that without bhakti, jnana cannot be successful. So the verse refers to people who have no bhakti. So that means they cannot be successful in jnana. In other words, they cannot really be liberated. They only think that they're liberated.
What is that small element of bhakti that these successful jnanis have? What is the mentality or
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that because they're jnanis and they're interested in hearing spiritual discourses, they should hear from some devotee and render service to some devotee. We will come to it in the discussion of Baba. But in the discussion of Baba, which is also called Rati, there's something called Rati Abbas. And Rati Abbas can be experienced by karmis and jnanis if they come to the association of pure devotees. And they hear the discourses on Srimad Bhagavatam, they hear the chanting of Hare Krishna, and they join. But inwardly, either they want material elevation or impersonal liberation. And by associating with the pure devotees and joining in the chanting and hearing, they experience something that resembles ecstasy, bhava, or rati. But it is not real rati or bhava as pure devotees experience, but it is called rati abhas.
Like para attachment.
Yeah.
Or shadow.
Yeah. And rati abhas is so powerful that if someone gets even rati abhas, he's liberated.
So any jnani that's successful and maintains the brahmajyoti, that means that he has some association with devotees?
Or Krishna. There has to be some touch of bhakti, which can only come and be done through contact with a pure devotee or Krishna.
Mm-hmm. I notice that in the Karma Kanda, activity. Mantras for worshiping the different demigods contain Krishna mantras. So Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says that that's the tinge of bhakti within the Karma Kanda which tells this.
Yep. And in relation to Varnashram, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if they offer the fruits to the Lord, that's the little touch of bhakti there.
When perfectly follow our principles, Varnashram and Dharma, I understand that he creates for himself in future pious activity and good karma. So why is it stated that he go to hell if not render devotional service? Even one, I was thinking that if even one not perform devotional service, but pious activity, he go to Svarga Loka. How he stated that. He go to hell.
Because if he doesn't offer the result to Krishna, it's not really pious. We think it's pious, but it's not really pious unless he offers something to Krishna. In one sense, nothing is auspicious. That's the point of the verses. Nothing is auspicious without Krishna consciousness. But within Varnashram Dharma, there are recommendations that one should respect sadhus, one should respect sannyasis, like that. So if they respect sannyasis, and the sannyasis give them some good instruction to serve Krishna, to offer the fruit of their activities to the Lord. And if they follow, then they can be elevated. You understand?
Maharaj, with relationship to the question about the impersonalist who thinks that he's achieved liberation, but he hasn't. And the Kesha Bharati who said something about the sadhaka.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand.
Well, sadhana means spiritual practices. Like there's sadhana bhakti, but there's also sadhana of other types. And opposed to sadhaka, which means someone who's practicing, is siddha, or someone who's perfect. So the persons described in the verse, they haven't actually merged into impersonal Brahman. They're still thinking, I'm liberated, so I. And where does the concept of I come? It means that they're still in the material world.
But in the verse it says, although they accept repentances and rise to the spiritual positions to impersonal man realization, let's say that they think, but the verse says that although they do rise to that point.
Well, they know I'm not the body. Gyan means to distinguish matter from spirit. So they know I'm not the body. But they don't know that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. They have an impersonal idea of God.
Isn't that state of Brahman realization though beyond the three modes of nature?
But then what is the meaning of Avishuddha Buddhaya? Impure. What is the meaning of impure?
Because they haven't taken shelter to love the speed of Krishna. So in relationship to that, it's considered impure.
But then, how is it beyond the material nature? Is there anything impure beyond the material nature?
But at the same time, one won't stay in that position.
Exactly. You won't stay in that position and fall down. Just like we say, if someone has Bhagavan realization, Brahman realization and Paramatma realization are included. You've heard that? But does it mean that we will merge into impersonal Brahman, then we'll meditate on the super soul and the heart, and then we'll go back to Godhead? No. Here, realization doesn't mean that one has to enter into Brahman or meditate on the super soul. But it means understanding. So I would say that when Srila Prabhupada says here, impersonal Brahman realization, it doesn't mean that they've actually entered into the Brahma Jyoti, but they have an impersonal understanding. It's like when someone realizes Bhagavan, he automatically realizes Brahman and Paramatma, but he doesn't actually enter into Brahma Jyoti. But he understands the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth.
It does say here, Param Padam, Arura Kritrena Param Padam, then Tata Patanti Patajika.
Maybe it's good to see some commentary.
As far as I understand, this verse is that Prabhupada mentions, and as far as I remember, also that Prabhupada.
Can you speak up a little bit?
In the text, and as far as I remember, also Prabhupada mentioned that Prabhupada, that someone may go to the Brahma Jyoti, but because he's not engaged in devotional service, then eventually he'll fall down if he even makes it that far. And the Prabhupada mentions that generally the person is they engaged in philanthropic welfare works. Because they're not satisfied with the personal realization.
That's true. Srila Prabhupada said that, I think he was asked why the impersonalists fall down from Brahman. He said because they get lonely.
So there's no ananda.
Manta,
he was saying there's no ananda.
Yeah.
There's no pleasure.
Do they have to fall down? Is it effective? If the impersonalist is kept the guarantee to fall down,
the first one from our generation? There's a purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam where Prabhupada says that generally they fall down, but they can rise up from the Brahma Jyoti into Vaikuntha. It's very, very rare.
There's a letter Prabhupada says 99.9% fall down and 0.1% go back to Godhead from the Brahma Jyoti.
question about the performing activities in the Varnashram Dham, and then the scandal, the story of King Rita, was performing cultural activities very expertly, but still due to slight mistake. So that's why that is not at all the next time. So.
Did you hear? Very good point. That King Riga, as mentioned in the 10th canto, was very pious in terms of material duties, but due to some slight discrepancy, not even his fault in one sense, he had to take birth as a lizard, which is hellish. You know the story? He was very pious, very charitable. But by accident, one cow that he gave away came back to him. And by accident, he gave the same cow away to another Brahmin. And for the little mistake done unknowingly, he had to take birth as a lizard. So this is the danger of fruitive activities.
Is it that this possible amends to generate Brahman if they fall down because of an ignorance about Krishna? So all of them can understand that they fall down because of some ignorance and ignorance comes from matter. It's something matter here. So how can they have like it is dead people that they can have knowledge without material things?
Surely the impersonalist who does go to Vrindavan, even though he may be very rare, he is, you could say, Krishna Bahirmukha. He's averse to Krishna still. So wouldn't that be Avishuddha Buddhaya? Or isn't that at least a contamination?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That point is also explained in the Bhagavatam that the position of entering Brahman is not at all accepted, because those who are divine and envious of Krishna, they attain the same destination.
Yeah.
In fact, there's a letter in which Prabhupada says that it's not actually liberation, because you can't fall from a liberated position. So this word liberation is sort of a misleading term.
Yeah,
I have an announcement to make. Gauridhan Prabhu has arrived.
I got my
call. So we'll continue our reading as per the list of reading assignments, and we'll meet tomorrow. Hare Krishna.